today on Real Radio.
If you're a Christian this morning, be careful about defending yourself. Don't make too big of a deal out of it. Let God defend you. You trust God, let him defend you. Yeah, but Jack, you know what they're saying? I don't care what they're saying. I'm telling you right now from experience, let it fly over your head. God does not delight in his kids running around trying to defend themselves.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Paul Pleads Guilty, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Many years have gone by since the Apostle Paul's first missionary journeys. Now Paul is back in Jerusalem, and he's ready for the end of his mission. In the message called Where's God When You Need Him from Acts chapter 23, we saw how God was at work in Paul's life, even though he looked as though God had abandoned him. Now, Paul had been planting the seed of Christianity all over the known world. Still, his Christianity was being attacked by those he loves, the Jewish brethren. There will be those who will come against us in our faith in Christ, but you see, that's when God is protecting us the most. Now in Acts chapter 24, we'll see that Paul pleads guilty before his accusers, but his confession was for following the Lord. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that when others come against us, we have a tendency to either believe the lies and allow ourselves to be judged, or we become angry and we retaliate. Our hearts then condemn us, but you see, God is greater than our hearts, and he wants us to bless our accusers and let the Lord be our defense. And now, continuing his lesson called Paul Pleads Guilty, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
For we have found this man, that is Paul, a plague. We found him to be a plague. A creator of dissensions among all the Jews throughout the world and a ringleader of the sect of Nazarenes. First of all, this word plague in the Greek's a great word. It means a disease, a pest, a rodent, a bug, a virus. That's what it means. This guy's a virus. He's a bug. He's bugging everybody. He's going around telling people about the Lord. Hope, salvation, resurrection, peace, life after death. This guy's a pest. We don't want to hear it. Creator of dissensions. He's an instigator of a cult religion. Why did he bring this up? Because Rome decreed that there were no acceptable religions that could be added to the kingdom. Judaism was accepted. And he was wrong in calling Paul a creator of a sect because, listen, is Christianity a sect? It is not. What is Christianity? Christianity is the fulfillment of Judaism. Did you know that? Christianity, if you follow Judaism in the Old Testament and obey it, you will come to be a Christian. Example, Paul the Apostle. Followed Judaism to the letter, and it led him to Christianity. Christianity is not 2,000 years old, contrary to Time or Newsweek magazine. Christianity was in the beginning, because it's Christ. Jesus is the one who saves. All other attempts is man's reaching out to save himself, called religion. Christianity is God coming down and reaching man. That's the great difference. That's why there's a great struggle between Christianity and grace and religion and legalism. You can never melt the two together, oil and water, it won't work. You are either a Christian and enjoying the grace and the forgiveness of God and a new life, or you're dead, burned out, pooped out, and tired in religion because you've been bound under a legalistic rule. You cannot bring the two together. Jesus said of himself, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Is that what you know today? I like to just put it in the Jack version, and that is, if Christianity is a pain, you're doing it wrong. Following Jesus, the way. But they're accusing him. This guy's a disease. And they're coming against him. These people have been given the truth, and yet they were fighting against that very truth. It says in verse 6, he even tried to profane the temple, and we seized him and wanted to judge him according to our law. First of all, he didn't profane the temple. That is an absolute lie. And yes, they could judge him according to their laws. Rome allowed Israel to kill a blasphemer. That was their only capital jurisdiction they had over a man's life. But Paul was not guilty, but they're lying. They're coming against him. Verse 7 says, "But the commander Lysias came by and with great violence took him out of our hands, and commanding his accusers to come to you, by examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things which we accuse him." And this is their attack. They, coming together, united, says in verse 9, "And the Jews," those are the people that hired him, "also assented, demanding," or excuse me, "maintaining that these things were so." As soon as he said that, "You know what, Felix, just examine the guy. You'll find out that everything we're saying is true." And all the grandstands went, "Here, here. Yes, that's true. Nail him." You know what? I want to ask you this question. You know who's responsible for this whole thing? James. Where's James? It was his idea. Remember James? James says, "Hey, go into the temple and do your thing and it'll make everybody happy." Where's James? Paul's all alone. "Hey, James, it was your idea. Get down here and say something." No James, nobody. Paul's all alone. But not really alone. But the audience there was absolutely against his message. Listen carefully. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 17, Jesus said, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm," that is really knowing the truth and rejecting the truth, "and living in a religious way but not knowing God," Jesus says, "you're lukewarm. I wish you were either cold or hot." Listen, in your old King James Bible, it says, doesn't it, "I will spew you out of my mouth." That's a great word, spew. My new King James says, "vomit." "I will vomit you out of my mouth." The word is a, I know it's, did you have breakfast this morning? Or are you going out afterwards? The word, when Jesus says, "Listen, I wish you were hot or cold. I can deal with that. But because you're lukewarm," like milk, lukewarm milk is the most disgusting thing. Anyway, Jesus says, "I'm going to," in the word spew in the old King James, the word is absolutely projectile vomit out. Just hurl. Boom. Now, ladies, when you get sick, you spew. "Honey, excuse me, I have to go spew." That sounds very nice. That's misleading in the old King James Bible. It is what we do, guys. It is va-voom, you know. Jesus, "Man, I wish you were hot. Or wish you're cold. You're lukewarm, man. You're walking the fence. You think you can be a Christian and play in the world at the same time? You're lukewarm. And because of that, I'm going to va-voom you out of my mouth." So what's the point? Get hot or get cold. Don't stay lukewarm if that's where you're at this morning. Don't be fooled. Remember the story about the king's robe? The new king's robe? Jesus went on to say in Revelation chapter 3, he said, "You think you're rich?" He says, "I'm telling you, you're poor. You think you're clothed in wealth?" He says, "I'm telling you, you're naked." And the king's story where the guys came peddling their goods and they said, "Hey, we got this great fabric. Only brilliant people can see it, though." "Oh, yes, I see it. Well, would you like to have a robe made out of it?" "Oh, sure. Okay. Remember, only brilliant people can see this great fabric." "Okay." So they got these seamstresses. They're doing their work and making this robe. And everybody's been told only brilliant people can see this incredible material. So the king didn't want to look like an idiot. So he's going, "Oh, that's really coming along well, isn't it?" And the people spinning all the thread together is going, "Oh, yeah, it sure is nice. There's nothing here." Then the great day came for the king to get his new robe. And he gets his new robe and he puts that new robe on. And it's going to ride in his great chariot. And he's out there in front of the kingdom. All the people are there. And the king's going down the street. And everybody's heard about this incredible fabric, man. Only the brilliant, wise, smart people can see it. People who are in the know, they can see it. And everybody's just going, "Oh, what a robe, man. What a great look. Man, you've never looked so good." And this little five-year-old kid goes, "Mommy, why is the king naked?" He thought he was clothed. He was fooled. Jesus says, "You think you're rich," in Revelation 3, 17. "You think you're wealthy." He says, "You're naked. You're poor. You have nothing. Because you're lukewarm." That's how this audience was that Paul was standing in front of. They were lukewarm at best. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12 that there's a way that seems right to men, mankind, but that way ends in death or an open manhole cover. I'm sure that drunk thought he was going to find his way home, fell into a hole. Where are you going? Home. You sure, huh? Yep. Down he goes. There's a way that seems right to every man, but that way ends in destruction, ends in death. What is Paul guilty of? Paul is guilty of loving these people. That is the problem. Paul is guilty. Verse 10, verses 10 through 16, we'll see here that Paul is guilty. And it's a beautiful kind of guilt to have. Then Paul, after the governor nodded at him to speak, answered. Now listen to his pitch versus Tertullius's pitch. Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge in this nation, that is true, 8 years Felix had been a judge, I do more cheerfully answer for myself. Just right to it. You've been a judge for 8 years, that's great. I'm going to speak for myself. I'm not going to hire some guy over here. I'll do my own talking, thank you. By the way, listen, Paul is being led by God to do this. I want to say this to you and then get going. If you're a Christian this morning, be careful about defending yourself. Don't make too big of a deal out of it. Let God defend you. You trust God, let him defend you. Yeah, but Jack, you know what they're saying? I don't care what they're saying. I'm telling you right now from experience, let it fly over your head. But Jack, I'm gonna launch a smear camp. Let it go. Let it go. You know who's going to get hurt the most? If you take it up and run with it, you will. God does not delight in his kids running around trying to defend themselves. He delights in defending you. That's a serious thing. Yeah, but what about, hey, let God deal with it. Jesus says, when you're accused of being wrong, take it well. And I tell you from experience, Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, Jesus tells us, or Paul tells us, what we ought to do when we're accused and attacked. He says, bless your enemy. Oh yeah, right. That's true. Bless them for their sake? No. Read the word carefully. Meditate on it thoughtfully. Bless them because it frees you up and gives you power. If your enemy, listen, it's just past Christmas time. You still have the list of people that you sent cards out to. No doubt. Family, somebody, there's got to be an enemy in your family somewhere, don't you? Neighbor, down the street, someone? Bless them. Put them right in your sights and go after them. It'll drive them crazy. Oh yeah, now you're talking, Jack. No, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Bless them. Why? It will free you up. Go home and try it and see if that's not true. You will be freed. You know how you get up in the morning, you're thinking, oh man, that Paul, he makes me sick. I'm going to take him to Felix and have him hung. You want to be free? Listen, I guarantee you people, and there's people in this church that can say, you know what? He's saying the truth. Even if Paul hangs and dies, your heart is still caught in bondage in that situation. Let it go. Ask God. Tell him, be honest. God, I can't stand that guy. So Lord, give me love for him. Supernaturally do it. Cause me to bless him. And you will be so liberated, it'll blow your mind. Paul is being attacked by these guys. Before we go deeper into Paul's statements for himself, who does Tertullius remind you of? Not Johnny Cochran. Johnny Cochran. Flea Bailey. No. He's accusing Paul wrongfully. John told us in Revelation 12:10 that Satan stands before God in heaven and accuses the brothers and sisters day and night. That's us. Satan does that. When you blow it, you know who's the first to know? Satan. Some little guy that might be running alongside your car or over by you or wherever. Hey, oh, did you see what he... Hey, Lucifer! You can see him tugging on God's robe. Hey, God, you know what Jack just did? Revelation 12, he accuses the brethren day and night, day and night. Do you have any kids? They're close to the same age? Mommy, did you see what she did? That's none of your business. But she did it. That's none of your business. Well, look at him. How come he? Hey, how come? Hey, that's none of your business. You take no. What? Hey, and it's just like, hey, it's none of your business. Satan's just, look what they did. Look what Jack, look at John. Look what Betty's doing. Day and night. Accusing us. That's who Tertullius reminds me of. But not only that, as I thought about this, this is what the world is like too. The world is coming after us. Jesus says in John's gospel, don't be upset if the world hates you. They hated me first. The world. Have you noticed we're on this big political correct thing? I went and bought a book about being politically correct and the phrases. I got to bring it sometime and share it with you. Those of us who are, you know, fighting the bulge, you know what we are? We are horizontally challenged. Hi, I'm like to join your club. I'm horizontally challenged. I mean, it goes on and on. And the world now is, we're tolerant. Isn't that what they're saying? We're tolerant. We're tolerant. We're so big now. We've grown up. We're tolerant. We can handle anything. Lay it on us. We can take it. I'm a Christian. Don't say that. Don't say that. I believe in God. No! Isn't it funny? We're so tolerant. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead. He's coming back. Somebody arrest this guy. We can tolerate everything. And you see, that's exactly what's happened in the Bible in your lap 2,000 years ago is what's happening today. Why? It's a spiritual thing. And it's going to go on, people. It's going to continue. Where does attacks like this take place? Not only in this courtroom. I don't know how you are, but 1 John 3:20 says, if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. You know where else this kind of attack takes place? In my head, in my heart. Not only is the devil against me, not only is the world against me, but I'm against me. Isn't that weird? I want to do what's right and my body wants to do something else. There's a war on the inside. I want to follow Christ and my body wants to sleep in or play ping pong or whatever. It's weird. But Tertullius is so much like the enemy who's against us. Listen to this. Verse 14 and 15 is really the thrust of this entire section before us. Paul says, I am guilty. I confess. It's true. I confess to you, Felix, that according to the way, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers. Believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, I have hope in God. That's what he's guilty of. Paul, are you guilty? I'm guilty. The word confess here is ek homologeo, or it is to homologeo, to speak the same word. Yes, you know what? I'm going to tell you something, and God would hold me accountable, and this is the truth. I am guilty of the way. I'm guilty of being a Christian. It's exactly what he's saying. And I am also guilty of worshiping. That song by Brian Duncan. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict you? The lyric in that song. When we were worshiping the Lord this morning, when we now have our Bibles open, are we guilty of being arrested? Is there enough evidence to arrest us for being a Christian? Paul says, man, I'm busted. You got me. Yeah, I'm guilty. He's guilty of worshiping. He says, I confess, I worship the God of our fathers. Well, that's the audience that was around him. The God of the Old Testament. He says, you know what? I'll go on to say that I confess that I'm guilty of believing in all of the scriptures, the Bible. Paul says, man, I believe in the Old Testament. The new hadn't been written yet. I believe in it. Can you imagine? Paul is so dumb. He missed the whole thing. Poor him and Jesus, they missed the whole deal because the Claremont School of Theology, right over here, our neighbors almost, they got their record straight now, you know. You can buy their Bible. Don't you dare give them a dime. You can buy their Bible. And they've done 8 years of research, and they'll tell you what Jesus really said. And the words that they know he really said are written in red. The ones that they don't know he really said, they put in pink. And the words that they know for a fact, they left black. Okay? liberals. The same guys that the Bible said will come in the last days before Jesus shows up on the scene again. They're fulfilling Scripture. Well, guess what? They go on their seminars and their tours and they take up offerings and they ask you to support them in their great work. Well, guess what verse is the only verse written in red? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Isn't that convenient? Now, I'd like to go in there and do a little switcheroo and put in there where it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the Day of Judgment than for you guys. But you didn't hear that here. Can you believe that? They say, well, those things really didn't happen. Jonah, that didn't happen. Well, you know what? Poor Jesus. Because Jesus said that the story about Noah is an actual fact. Isn't it interesting that the things that Jesus attested to were the most criticized, most radical events in the Bible? Jesus says they were true. I'll give you a few just for you to consider. Jesus said that Sodom and Gomorrah are real cities. Time magazine says they're not. Jesus said that Adam and Eve were really created in the Garden of Eden. Jesus said that Noah built a ship. Jesus said that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. Jesus said that Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. Jesus also said, you kill me, 3 days later I'll rise from the dead. Now, am I going to believe some guys who sit in their office or one who says, I tell you what, 3 days later I'll rise from the dead? I know I've said a lot of radical things, but in 3 days, I think all the dust will settle.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Paul Pleads Guilty. Thanks for listening, and be encouraged. You can trust 100% upon the accuracy of the Bible. You can rest assured that you can build your life upon it, and you can expect fully that all that it says will come to pass. Paul Pleads Guilty is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. As we've journeyed through the book of Acts, there's one thing about the Apostle Paul that stands out more than anything else. Paul had a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. No matter what trial he was facing or how many times he went hungry or was beaten for the gospel's sake, he knew that nothing could separate him from the love of God. You know, God wants that kind of relationship with you and me. We're not here by accident. And only God can rescue us from our sin and shame. Now, if you've made a decision to follow Christ, or you're ready to open your heart and invite Him in, but you've got some questions, or you just want to know more of what a relationship with Jesus Christ really means, simply go to our website and tap on the tab that says Know God. That's spelled K-N-O-W, God. You'll not only find scriptures to support your decision, but Pastor Jack's also included a special video about what a commitment to Jesus Christ really means. So go to our website, that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and tap on the Know God tab. It'll even give you ideas on what to share with others about salvation. Again, it's the Know God tab, and you can find it right there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know, by the way, there are a few great ways that you can support this ministry, even in ways that won't cost you a dime? You can be involved in eternal impact basically for no money out of your pocket. It's easy. You can start by telling your friends about this ministry. Then you can like Pastor Jack's Facebook page, subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, or follow his Instagram. Pastor Jack really is quite active on social media, so you'll love keeping up with him and what God is doing through this ministry. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.